The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Welcome to Episode 10 with the conference final well underway and with some surprises and some not-so-surprises in the first three games that have been played as we record this show. Drew, the biggest surprise, obviously, is happening in the Eastern Conference as the Florida Panthers have won two games on the road from the Carolina Hurricanes, and obviously there have to be some head-scratching going on in Carolina.
Danny, the Carolina Hurricanes have now lost 14 straight conference final games.
It's incredible.
Which to me is exactly incredible. Freddie Anderson came into this series with a .937 save percentage. In the first two games of the series, he has got a .750 save percentage, allowing 10 goals. I mean, Florida is absolutely breaking the Carolina Hurricanes with their pressure, with their starts, with their relentlessness, with their physical play. It's been domination, and I didn't expect that this time around.
Well, let's review game number two. It was a total blowout in favor of the Florida Panthers, and it began with Gus Forsling putting the puck into the net.
Carolina Hurricanes control. Andrei Svechnikov didn't clear. Forsling in front of shot. He scores! Gus Forsling, 1 minute, 17 seconds in. It's 1-0 Panthers. They cash in off the Carolina turnover.
I mean, that was a big part of it, Drew. The fact that Carolina turned over the puck a number of times during the course of this game trying to break out, and the forechecking of Florida was pretty relentless.
Yeah, and I know Forsling's a player that you like a lot when we broadcast together. You like the way he plays, and they've got 13 goals from their defense so far in the playoffs. But you're absolutely right. The start of that team, the forecheck of that team, it was nothing pretty. It was just pressure, and that is what they do, and it started an onslaught.
Well, the onslaught began right there, and then all of a sudden it was 2-0 when a guy you do expect to score a goal, Matthew Tkachuk, put one in.
Takeaway for Walker. He'll give to the near side into the corner where Bennett blasts Svechnikov up the near side. Mikula holds the puck in. Now behind the net, then Verhaeghe thinks about a wraparound on it for bouncing puck, and they score! Carter Verhaeghe took it to the front of the net. 8:19 to go in the first. It's 2-0 Panthers, and that may have gone off something out in front. I believe that something was Matthew Tkachuk.
That something was Matthew Tkachuk. 2-0, and that guy just gets in the way. He makes things happen every single time he's out there.
That's how he scored that goal. He got in the way. He went to the net like he's basically in the crease. He's at the net, and it comes to him. He just pokes it in. He slides the puck in. Before that, there was a little bit of an exchange at center ice where he lost his edge and he sent Svechnikov over top. But you could say that a lot about a lot of the Panthers, couldn't you? They just basically get in your way.
But at this point, it was time for Carolina to give a little bit of a push. Down 2-0, and they did push, but Sergei Bobrovsky was there.
Played up the near side. Carolina breaks it out. 2-on-1 stall. The puck carrier left side of the circle. Threads it to the trailer. Martinuk shot. Hey! Made by Bobrovsky. And the Panthers up the ice in a hurry.
But that was the end of the first period after those big saves by Bobrovsky, that being one of them. And they played the rest of the game, Drew, without their top scorer, Sam Reinhart, because he got injured in a little collision with Sebastian Aho of Carolina. And after the game, obviously, there was a lot of question about that. Looks like that they're going to just review him and figure out what's going on with him for game number three. But this is a big loss, and yet they were able to keep going. And Carter Verhaeghe, who had that big three-assist game, talked about losing Reinhart and also responding to that with the rest of the team.
Yeah, we have such a deep team, and everyone can play with anyone. I mean, we have so much skill up and down the lineup, and guys that weren't in the lineup have been playing really well for us over the playoffs. So I think it's kind of next man up mentality, and Sam's obviously a huge part of our team, and hopefully he's doing okay. And but yeah, I mean, we're just focusing on the next shift, and the guys did a hell of a job to keep up with the tempo.
Well, it certainly helped. Carter Verhaeghe's been such a pressure player for his entire NHL career, really. Had three assists in this game. But that line that was put together with Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, and Bennett was just absolutely dominant.
Exactly. That's all they were. That's the best word to use. This is a team that Paul Maurice preaches simplicity in the game. The beauty of simplicity, the effectiveness of simplicity. So they believe that's how they're going to win hockey games. The simplicity of hard work, of going straight ahead, of not skating by guys, skating through guys, going direct to the puck, and then going direct to the net. Their game is nothing but simplicity, but they do it consistently, effectively, and from player to player as hard as they can. It is, it's beautiful to watch, really, when you understand what they're doing. Some people call it boring. I call it winning.
I call it winning, too. And, of course, you have to have a big save that sometimes can inspire you. You heard one from Bobrovsky, but here was a bigger one that led directly to a goal by the aforementioned Sam Bennett.
Played up the near side. Carolina breaks it out. 2-on-1 stall. The puck carrier left side of the circle. Threads it to the trailer. Martinuk shots. Hey! Made by Bobrovsky. And the Panthers up the ice in a hurry. Verhaeghe for Rodriguez on the right wing. Has Marchand cutting the net. Rodriguez a shot. It's blocked. And back behind the net. Martinuk is there. That one may have gotten Sean Walker somewhere where there's some discomfort right now. Verhaeghe is shot. That's blocked again. This time by Martinuk. A shot and they score! And it's Carter Verhaeghe. Picked it up on the bounce. A power play goal, and the Panthers have a 3-0 lead with 4:10 to go here in the first.
Verhaeghe made the play, but Bennett got his stick on it. That was a gorgeous tip.
It was a beautiful tip, and again, going to the front of the net. Verhaeghe, as you said, went 3 assists last game. He made a ton of plays. That guy is fantastic. And that line, we look at lines or players that are drivers, right? That's a driving line for the Florida Panthers. Mind you, it's pretty hard when you watch the Florida Panthers now to say which line or which player isn't driving the boat right now.
Well, that's true. You know, the big save by Bobrovsky just before that goal, though, I mean, how many times have we seen this, Drew, in the playoffs where a play like that and you come right up the ice and it goes in the net the other way? How close was it for Carolina in those two instances to get back into the game, and they didn't?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, when they make the save versus how many they have to make. And Sergei Bobrovsky's the king of timing when it comes to saves. Remember when Tampa was winning all the time? We talked to Brian Engblom, and Brian Engblom said that, you know, Vasilevsky masks a lot of our problems. Vasilevsky inspires a lot of our offense. And that's exactly what Sergei Bobrovsky does.
That line kept going at the end of the second period, and they always say play to the final whistle. Perfect example of that. Ooh. Bennett scores to make it 4-0 in the final minute.
Bennett backs out the line. Ekblad straight on at the blue line has it. Ekblad patiently. Long shot tip wide by Verhaeghe. Back behind the net. Verhaeghe rips it in front. Jammed it. And they score! And it's Sam Bennett crashing the net. And the Panthers take a 4-0 lead with 39 seconds to play here in the second. What a shift. And the Panthers are rewarded with a 4-goal lead.
If you're down 3-0 at the end of the second period, you can probably put it back together. But that had to be awfully demoralizing for the Hurricanes in the their own building.
100%, 39 seconds left. And by that time, you want to talk about dominant performance? By that time, the Carolina Hurricanes had 7 shots on net.
After incredible.
40, yeah. And in the third period, the fans in Carolina started chanting, shoot the puck, shoot the puck. And the Carolina Hurricanes could not withstand the pressure, could not hold up against the pressure of Florida, especially that line, as you mentioned, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, and Bennett. Bennett is Danny. That guy, man. He's something else.
How are the Calgary Flames feeling about this at this point?
Oh, no. They're not. They've erased it from their memory. They can't take it.
Well, the one thing is the scouts that are still there are saying, see, I told you so.
Told you so. Told you he was a player. Yeah. But you get shows you, you know, you take a good player and you put him in the right situation and put him with the right players. They're going to bloom. They just, that's the type of athletes you have. You look at every guy that goes to the Florida Panthers. Look at guys that go to top teams. I don't say Florida. They just go to top teams, and they take off. Joe Thornton coming from Boston to San Jose. Look what he did. But Brent Burns from Minnesota to San Jose. Look what he did. When you put with the right group of people in the right atmosphere, the right culture, these players will take off to the next level. They'll evolve.
Well, as former Sharks scouting chief Chuck Grillo used to say, you put a hockey player with a hockey player and you get hockey. Paul Maurice put Bennett, Tkachuk, and Verhaeghe together, and it really worked out well. And after the game, the head coach of the Panthers was asked about that combination and about putting them together.
Over the last 2 years, so we would start and we would have 2 years ago, so three full seasons ago, guys, Nick Cousins was left wing and Carter Verhaeghe was left wing. And we would flip them back and forth with Barkov. And it worked every time. And then this year, it never worked once. Right? Like I could never find the right timing to flip them back and forth. And it was off all year. Don't know why. But that, I think Evan Rodriguez kind of has come in last year and really in his playoffs came into the form of his game, which allows that to be a really good line. But some of it's road match, some of it's home. Carter has become, I mean, he is a playoff performer. And if Barkey gets matched hard, then I, you know, would pull him off. And then if it's not as hard a match, I don't mind him there either. I don't know is the answer. Like, I was looking for that answer all year. I got it wrong the entire year. First 2 years, I thought I was really smart. Every time I changed it, lines take off. I go, man, I'm smart. And this year, I was a dumbass.
Every time you listen to Paul Maurice, he puts together a coaching clinic and also talks about the, I guess you could say, the vicissitudes of the sport in that sometimes you think you know what you're doing and you don't. And then you don't know what you're doing and you suddenly you're a genius.
Yeah, exactly. And when he was talking yesterday, listening to that, and you and I both love Paul. He is such a wonderful human being. I forget the hockey part of it. He's just a really good person. But you listen to him, and it reminded me of Jim Montgomery last year when he pulled the goaltender in overtime when he's coaching Minnesota. And I'm sorry, not Jimmy Montgomery, John Hines. And John Hines, they scored. And he said, yeah, he said, I look like a genius there, but if it didn't work, I was a dumbass. So he said, that's just coaching. That's just the way it is. And Paul Maurice, perfect there. But you work on things. That's just what you do. You work and work and work and try. And sometimes you get stubborn and stay with things, even though it's not working because you think it will. And then you go, you know what? I got to change this. And you do. And then you end up going to three conference finals and maybe three Stanley Cup finals and maybe two cups in a row.
Maybe. Meanwhile, the Carolina Hurricanes are looking at 14 consecutive losses in the conference final. Third period, they were pretty demoralized. Then they took a penalty, and then Alexander Barkov scored the last goal of the game.
Tkachuk, he'll try and flip it out front. Pass deflects away. Rodriguez in the Reinhardt spot here on this unit for now. Here's Rodriguez. Far boards out the line. Ekblad there. Ekblad across to the right point. Long shot. He scores from out at the right point. Ekblad put it to the net. Barkov was right in front. And the Panthers take a 5-0 lead. A power play goal. A deflection from the captain.
But how about this? Ekblad's a defenseman. He gets the puck to the net. That's number one. Number two, Barkov is causing chaos in front. Gets his stick on it. I mean, that's just basic textbook hockey the way that I think the San Jose Sharks need to play.
100%. Danny, that's what wins hockey games nowadays. You don't know what's wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs? The Toronto Maple Leafs were all skill. All skill. And that's great to have. It's wonderful to have in the regular season. But that's not how you win in the playoffs. The Florida Panthers give you a clinic on how to win in the playoffs. You look at Barkov on that play, one of the best players in the world, a guy that plays a 200-foot game. Where is he situated? Literally, right in front of Tkachuk came in the set in the third. He's just blocking out the sun. And when they play in the offensive zone, when they play anywhere, it's all five guys. It is all five guys connected. But Barkov, if again, you look at their lineup and you just go down the line, even though he's as skilled as he is and as good as he is with the puck, away from the puck, he's just as good and just as smart and just as much as a hard worker. Nobody takes a shift off with that team.
You mentioned Kochetkov coming into the third period. No surprise. Made four stops. That was the one goal that he let in. But I guess it was kind of, I guess you could say, being nice to the goaltender Anderson. Just get him out of there and let him start thinking about game number three. Although it does present Rod Brind'Amour with kind of a quandary after two games.
I don't know if there's anything that Rod could do. I really don't. When I'm watching these last two games, and I know that the playoffs are up and down and they change from here to here. But I don't know if there's anything Rod can do scheme-wise, because they play a certain way all the time. There's anything he can do here or there. You look for effort and execution. Well, Florida has a way of taking that away from you. Those are the two things as a coach you must have. But Florida takes that away from you. They're just a better team right now. They're just playing better right now. And also that 14 or 0-14 has got to be hanging over their heads. It's because they're going to be reminded of it. And they just got trounced at home. I don't know if there's anything Rod can do right now.
I'm not sure there is, but one thing he can maybe do is tweak his defense a little bit. They've missed Jalen Chatfield, by the way. Been part of it.
Yeah.
But the other part is they can't get demoralized. And I think on that second Bennett goal, Brent Burns was a little demoralized, kind of let him go. In an earlier part of the game, he might not have let him go.
Yep, 100%. I think you're right. And it's hard not to. That's what Florida does to you. It's hard not to get demoralized when you're getting beat in every one-on-one situation, on every race to the puck, on every play along the boards, on every loose puck. You're getting beat. It's got to whip you. It's got to bring you down. And it's hard to ignore that fact. It's like in fighting. You know, you know in fighting, you can see it in the other guy's eyes when you are in the ring with him, that you are breaking his will, or he can see that he's breaking yours. And there comes a moment where, you know, I got him.
Well, after the game, of course, Matthew Tkachuk was pretty happy that the team won, and he talked about the club dominating in their last three road games, and that's one of the reasons why they're the Stanley Cup champions.
And it might have been natural for us to take a little bit to get going tonight, and it was the exact opposite. It was an unreal start from us. No, the goals aside, just the way we played in the first period was as good as it gets, and it's just a hell of a road trip.
He said it was pretty nice to score a goal, but he didn't really care who scored as long as they win.
We're in, you know, up 2-0. I do not care how we get there. If it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I've never cared. But sometimes it's nice to see it go in. But it is what it is. Sometimes, you know, I'm not Ovechkin, so they're not always going to go in. So, but when they do, they feel nice.
The Tkachuk boys are great inside that media room, aren't they?
They're fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. It's again, guys you hate to play against, but boy, would you love them on your team.
So Carter Verhaeghe, you'd love to have him on your team too. 3 assists in the game. And he talked about taking the crowd out of the game in Carolina.
It's fun when you're on the road and it goes quiet and feels like we're doing our job. But yeah, I think we've had a good couple starts, and that's had a lot to do with it. And some games you're gonna win like tonight, and some games it could have been 1-0, you know what I mean? And I think it's just for us to stay focused on what we need to do and not change the way we play, whether we're down 5 or up 5. So,
well, they're the Stanley Cup champions, Drew, and so obviously they're going to be prepared for game number 3. But if you're Carolina, what are you going to do here?
Try to switch things on Florida. You've got to try to put pressure on them. Again, pucks behind their D and get after them. You've got to start trying to do what they do and try to fight fire with fire.
Game number 4 will be on Saturday, May 24th, and it'll be in South Florida, and the Panthers are looking to make it an absolute lock in game 3.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Well, let's shift to the Western Conference, Drew, and rub our hands together and take a look at this analysis of game number one between the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars. It all started out so beautifully for the Edmontonians. Leon Draisaitl coming out and snapping the puck into the net to make it 1-0. In favor of the Edmonton Oilers, and it looked as if it was going to be a long night for Dallas.
Now it's Draisaitl hovering top of the right circle and now forced up top near the blue line. Held in by Draisaitl. McDavid off balance, nearly fell. Got it to Nurse. Draisaitl back on the puck. He'll take it hard into the net. It's score! Leon Draisaitl with a wrist shot just inside the left goalpost. And Edmonton takes a 1-0 lead in game one of the West Final.
But it wouldn't last long as Tyler Seguin looked like he's got a good giddy up and go to his game after being out so long with injuries, scored a beauty to tie it up.
Yeah, this is an interesting portion of the opening period. Jake Oettinger had lost his stick and accidentally but perfectly it rocketed out of his hand and it laid directly across the goal line in behind him like a little stick fort. No puck ever went in there. The shot from Stetcher was up high from distance, and now Oettinger has the stick back in his hand.
Face-off win by the Oilers, so they want to pick up where they left off before the icing. Klingberg for Draisaitl, lost the handle, and Tyler Seguin's got a break. Seguin scores! Started all the way back in their zone. 200 feet later, tie game courtesy of Seguin.
That was some unbelievable separation. When you think about all of the surgeries that he's had to try to improve his skating because of his hip problems and everything else, Drew, that was quite a performance.
It really was. He had a really good game, as a matter of fact. He's starting to, you know, the playoffs are at a certain level, and he's been out for a long time, and he works his way back into the lineup. And he has, as you just said, gotten better and better every game. But that was a very nice display of almost the old Tyler Seguin with that breakaway speed.
He talked about getting that extra step.
Felt nice to be a guy up the ice with some speed, yeah. So, it always feels good to score. It feels even better to win. You know, I think I was thinking about that game last year, game one in here, where it was almost like a similar game, and maybe we didn't deserve to win, but tonight we maybe didn't either and found a way. You know, those are big games at this time of year. Just, try to find a way to get a win. There's a great hockey team over there in Edmonton, so we'll take it and run.
Well, they look like a great hockey team until the third period started. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins got another one to put the Oilers in front.
Here's Draisaitl to McDavid. Inside, Nugent-Hopkins shoots and scores. Power play goal. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins restores the lead for Edmonton. It's 2-1.
2-1 Oilers, and then all of a sudden it was 3-1 in the second period when Evan Bouchard, who's looking like he is an awesome playoff performer, got another one.
Kasperi Kapanen, the Game 5 overtime hero, put Colson ahead. Circles the Dallas net, kicks it out to Bouchard. Back down low to Draisaitl, who has a goal and an assist tonight. Bouchard loading up, shooting left circle and scoring inside the right post. It's 3-1 Edmonton.
It was 3-1 at that point. And what happened inside that dressing room in the second intermission, Pete DeBoer?
Trying to remember something along the lines of, I didn't feel we had played our best yet. And, you know, it's really tough to get to this point. You know, and if you are going to lose a game at this point in the year, you know, you want to make sure the other team has to earn it. And I didn't feel through 40 minutes that, you know, we had made them earn the position they were in. So, you know, the guys responded. We got fortunate. We got some power play goals. Happy for our power play. I mean, it took a lot of heat last year at this point of the year. And was a difference for us. So it's great.
It certainly was great for Dallas in the third as Miro Heiskanen, a big reason why Dallas is in that position on the power play, got things going.
Stars trying to send him into a frenzy as we are underway. Third period. Wallman able to pull away from the pressure of Mason Marchman, clear it all the way down in precious few seconds, fly off the clock. Miro Heiskanen leads it ahead for Mikael Granlund. Marchment, Sagan, and Robertson, the other three. Granlund's got it on the left wing hash marks. Now over for Heiskanen. His shot, score! It was a 55-foot wrister from Miro Heiskanen. Waited for that one for more than 100 days. He's on the board. The Stars are within one.
That was the first of three power play goals that Dallas would score in the third. The second one was by the guy who set things up on the first one, Mikael Granlund, the former Shark.
Stars bring it back in. Robertson leaves it. Sagan, shot, grazed off a leg to the corner. Stars still spread it out. Robertson gets it to Marchment. And pass up high, Heiskanen. Right side, Granlund. Granlund shot, and off the bar. He celebrates and scores. They washed it out, and then call it a goal. Mikael Granlund. The power play is alive and well. And game one is all tied at three.
They got another power play. Matt Duchene hadn't scored a goal in the playoffs, but off he went.
They go with the hat trick of power play goals to take the lead here in game one.
Again, not only 6 minutes, not even 6 minutes into this third period. Kane in the box for high sticking. Stars control it. Duchene left wing side for Heiskanen. Right side shot just wide of the net. Kept alive. Duchene, second effort. He scores! It is raining power play goals at American Airlines Center. And Dallas has taken the lead 4-3.
Couple of thoughts on that little string. First of all, it reminds me of Game 7, Sharks against Vegas with all those power play goals in the five-minute major. But these were separate power plays, Drew. And, of course, Mikael Granlund, no surprise to Sharks fans, a huge part of what Dallas is doing.
They asked Peter DeBoer going into this series what would be one of the keys in winning. And he goes, try not to go 0-for-14 on the power play, which is what they did last year against the Edmonton Oilers. Mikael Granlund's shot, Danny, you couldn't have walked up and put it into a better place than Mikael Granlund did. What a shot that was from the right side. It was just a beautifully placed heck of a wrister. He's been great. The Dallas Stars did what they had to do. They had that opportunity, and with every opportunity is your chance to swing the game in your favor. And those power play opportunities allowed the Dallas Stars to get their game going, start feeling really good. I thought they were just dynamite in they went to the front of the net. They recovered pucks. They entered zones. They were quick and they took shots on net. They shot the puck. They took pucks to the net with people there. How many times have we talked about that, right? It was real, again, simple, real simple, but smart.
They would get two more goals later in the game. Tyler Seguin's second goal made it to 5-3, and then Esa Lindell put it in for the empty netter. Lindell's goal was his first of the playoffs, a 6-3 final. And so what do the Edmontonians do now as they approach game number two? Well, Corey Perry's been around a little while. He had some thoughts.
You don't get this opportunity too many times. And, you know, there's reasons for that. And this league is so good that you have to take that opportunity and run with it. And, you know, you have to be urgent. You have to be in the moment, present, and take advantage of where we are. There's only four teams left. Everybody else is at home, you know, watching. So you can go out and do something special.
It's going to be really interesting for game number two in Dallas because the Stars have a chance to take, I don't want to say a stranglehold, but a near stranglehold on the series with a 2-0 lead. And Edmonton is just going to try and claw their way back in. I'm going to be really fascinated to see what happens.
I like this to Corey Perry. He said, you don't get this opportunity all the time. He sure seems to.
Every year, it seems.
Every year, pretty much. But the Edmonton Oilers were really good for two periods, fantastic for two periods. But the Edmonton Oilers also are a very different team. They don't rely on skill anymore. They were down 2-0 against Los Angeles, and they come back and win that series. Now, LA is a very different team from the Dallas Stars. I like the Dallas Stars and the way they play, and we like Pete DeBoer and so many people on that team. but they're going to have to be much better, the Dallas Stars, to go up 2-0, because their first two periods were not that strong. They've got to be better. And again, as we talked about, give their game a chance to get going.
It's going to be fascinating. We're going to really enjoy checking this all out. We'll have all the results for you after the game's over the weekend. Have a great weekend. This is the Sharks Audio Network.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.